My name is Tracy Melissa Wheaton, and I'm the Program and Technology Specialist for InSource. I'm here with Regional Parent Resource Volunteer Christine Curtis today, and we're here to discuss the topic of volunteer services at InSource and what it means to be a volunteer for InSource. First off, good afternoon, Christine, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, what we want to talk about a little bit is kind of the process of volunteering, how one gets involved in volunteering, kind of cover what your duties are as a volunteer, and then sort of round it out at the end by talking about how people can get engaged in volunteering. So I want to begin by asking you if you could please kind of describe what it means to be a volunteer for InSource.
I believe that being a volunteer for InSource is making my little piece of the world a little better place by helping the education system, which includes the teachers and the parents and the administration, school staff, everyone working together to have an outstanding, successful education system.
And what led you to decide to become a volunteer for InSource?
Nothing really led me to become a volunteer. It just kind of happened. I was very exasperated as a parent, as my son was very young, in kindergarten, I believe. And I had made an urgent phone call to InSource, and it just happened that they were having a training session very shortly, the next day or the next 2 days. I took off of work and attended the training session, and I became a volunteer.
Wow, just like that.
Just like that.
I wonder if that's the typical experience for a volunteer, too. I don't know. It just so happened that things fell into place so nicely for you. That's great. And we thank you for being a volunteer. I guess you've been a volunteer with InSource now for
many years. I believe I started whenever Blake, my son, was in kindergarten, which meant that he was 6 years old, and he is now going to be 18 in a few months. So 13 or 14 years, yes.
What is your primary function as a volunteer?
When I first came to my training, the thing that sticks out the most is one of Mary Lovett, one of the instructors for the training, said that communication was the key to the InSource resources. And I believe that being a facilitator with the parents and the administration, the teachers, and all of the support staff is the biggest function of a volunteer for InSource. We need to provide vocabulary, definitions, also the specific legal point the people in the legal direction so that they understand what needs to happen in order for the them to actually make the education system and the policies work for everyone.
So just to reiterate and make sure I understand you, it's communication is kind of your primary function, and whether it's, you know, communicating to help build parents' confidence, to help build their understanding of the laws regarding Article 7, communicating with schools, perhaps in a kind of in a liaison context and a bridge builder between both the parent and the school in order to ensure that the child with special needs gets what it is that they need in order to be successful and have the best possible school experience. Does that sound accurate?
Perfect.
Well, good. I'm glad I understand it. What sort of training is involved in becoming a volunteer?
I believe at first I took some classes, and I think it was very intense. It was 2 or 3 days of 8 hours a day training. I believe that they have abbreviated that, so there's not as many hours all at once. And I also believe that it's important to keep up with your with the RPR's education by continuing their education. I usually attend at least one event every year in order to keep up with the laws and the vocabulary that all changes so quickly.
Can you describe the experience you had this most recent year, your most recent continuing education experience?
I was privileged enough to obtain a scholarship to the Learning Disabled Association, I believe. It's LDA Association's Indianapolis program. It was 2 days of different classes that you could take, as well as some lunch and some fellowship with other parents and teachers. In order to make the education system better.
Are there any costs associated with becoming a volunteer? You're talking about conferences and education and training, and I'm just wondering, that sounds like it could be expensive.
It doesn't seem to me that it's very expensive, but there are costs. I have phone calls that I make, and sometimes there's charges to that. I also have travel expenses, gas, wear and tear on the car, those kinds of things. I have office supply expenses that I incur that aren't reimbursed to me.
Well, and I would think, too, that at the end of the year, you could probably write that off on your taxes as volunteer incurred expenses?
Yes, exactly.
But check with your tax attorney just to make sure.
Yes.
What sort of time commitment is expected from a volunteer? Or is there an expectation? Or typically, I mean, what kind of time do you give each week?
I don't believe that there's an expected time commitment from InSource or from the other parents. It varies, and everyone is very tolerant of my time constraints. Sometimes there's a IEP meeting or a case conference that will take several hours of my time, a morning or an afternoon. It's never an entire day. Phone calls, sometimes the phone calls are very short. Sometimes they're 20 minutes in length or 30 minutes in length. Sometimes there's recurring expectations that I need to take care of. But it's the time commitment is very small compared to the results that we get.
Can you describe kind of a typical volunteer experience? What does that look like? I imagine they're different depending upon the individual, the student, the needs of the student, the school. But describe one or two scenarios, maybe something recent that's occurred and kind of how you helped move that along and get things resolved.
One of my experiences was just a phone call. What had happened is a parent was a little exasperated and called InSource, and I was given their phone number. I called the mother, and the mother had been through the system. Her son actually wasn't academically challenged, but more behaviorally challenged. And on the phone, the resource that I believe that I provided was just some support that she was doing exactly the right thing. I explained to her that there are two different components in her case, behavioral as well as academic. And I also helped her tell some of the things that we've changed at the school and the policies that we've created at the school in order to help my son, Blake, be able to behaviorally perform at school. And that's all she needed. I haven't heard again anything from her, and I expect that she just needed a little oomph to know that she was doing the right thing. I also have another parent that I've been working with since the little girl was three, and on a regular basis, about two or three times a year, I attend the case conference with the parent. The parent is more comfortable with my presence there. I'm not quite sure I do very much except provide definitions and vocabulary, and the school system is the same school system that Blake has gone through, and sometimes just my presence, they remember some of the difficulties that we had with Blake or challenges that we had with Blake and how we collectively as a committee helped those situations. And so I believe that that's another part of the experience that I've experienced.
Well, thanks for describing that in such depth. I, in fact, want to take a second to even comment on what you've just said. Sounds to me like a large part of what you do is just providing moral support. I mean, even though the parents, you know, may need a little bit of help with definitions or need some help in building their confidence with respect to some of the tenets of Article 7, sounds like sometimes just being there for them is enough to kind of push things in the direction it needs to go. And how nice also that you have that depth of experience from your own personal life with Blake and your experiences with him going through school, that teachers can recognize and sort of see you as a bridge builder, you know, not necessarily a force to be reckoned with, but someone that's there to just really work with both sides to get the student to the best possible place that they can be.
I believe that's the biggest asset that I can be to both the administration and to the parent is providing those kinds of things.
I just wanted to take a minute, too. I think a lot of our listeners may not be aware of the fact that InSource has only just a handful of paid staff that our agency will have a handful of paid staff that actually serve in various counties throughout the state. I think we have probably 20 or less employees that serve outside of this main office and probably just a handful in this main office. The bulk of the people that that we're relying upon to get our information out there and to provide services to parents and students and to work with the schools are volunteers. We have some, I don't know, just close between 300 and 400 volunteers at any given time. So I think it's important for people to realize that a lot of what goes on at InSource is done by parent volunteers. And I want to just kind of take a minute to commend all the parent volunteers that have been so helpful in helping us accomplish our mission. And again, my special thanks to you for that as well.
Thank you very much.
And in fact, I understand, kind of to that end, we recently hired someone named Beth DeHoff in the Indianapolis area who will be working for the purpose of developing a broader volunteer base for us. So I wanted to definitely acknowledge her and welcome her aboard as well. If anyone is interested in becoming a volunteer and would like more information, where might they find that?
I believe probably the most comprehensive resource is the internet. They can go and get on the internet, and the InSource numbers are there, and just call.
Excellent. And for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with our website, it is www.insource.org. Christine, I want to thank you today for your time and for all this great information you've shared. And again, my sincere thanks to you for all the many years of service that you've committed to helping us achieve our mission. Many kind thanks to you.
Thank you for including me.
Thank you for listening to the InSource podcast. The views expressed on this podcast are the views of the person being interviewed and not necessarily the views of InSource.